This recording of a channeling session is intended for your personal use only and is protected by copyright. Please do not duplicate it for any commercial means, and please do not post it to any website. Feel free to post a link back to it on www.josiah.com. Thank you.
Well, now, once again, allow us to express our greetings and our gratitude to the Estrosium, and remind you that there continues to exist that opportunity for you to be involved in that silent communication, in that telepathic interaction and exchange of information with other entities that would be with us on this afternoon, or indeed that portion that you like to refer to as your higher self, or that spot of consciousness that you are. And again, you will find that it's quite easy for you to also your consciousness and to enter into that meditative state and to enjoy that interaction and have that possibility to have that telepathic, that exchange of information. But once again, there's always a key. That choice is yours, absolutely. Now, we've spoken to you this afternoon about the utilization of imagination in your creation process. It's an important element in the creation process that it can assist you in that connection, if you wish, between your conscious and your subconscious in creating from a conscious level, an experience or a reality that you desire to have in your so-called vibrational level, your awakened conscious state. Utilization of knowing what it is that you desire, and then the imagination of what it would be like to experience that. And then, of course, do you really believe that it's possible? What are your expectations? You see, we continuously come from a point of understanding what it is to react from a position of absolute unconditional love, and attempt to express to you the possibilities, assuming that there is that basic understanding that one must have the expectation that it's possible. And in order to have that expectation that it's possible for you to consciously create your reality, you are to consciously influence the creation of your reality, then it's necessary to experience it. Love and self-love at the conscious level. And in order to experience love and self-love at the conscious level, then one must like who you are. If you don't like who you are, then it becomes very difficult to love yourself. And when you don't love yourself, it becomes very difficult to expect that it's possible to create an experience that you see others having, that you would really desire, and you would think it would be just great to be existing in that type of reality. But oh, that's really not me. I can't get there. It's not possible for me to do that. Well, it is possible. But however, if you choose to believe it's not possible, the spark of consciousness that you are validates the belief system, and you don't get that. You see, it doesn't matter what the technique is that you utilize. There are various techniques that are put out, and individuals will teach you if you do this or do this, or if you have continuous affirmation, or if you take a photograph of what it is that you wish to bring into your reality, and if you paste it on your refrigerator and look at it every day, that you can have that. There's all types of techniques. But it boils down to that basic element of, do you believe We've used the analogy many, many times. It is like going down upon the shore. You have a body of water that you desire to cross, and just offshore there's this bank of fog, so you don't have any idea of what the journey is going to be like. And so lined up along the shore are these various vessels, and they range from your very simplest type of canoe that operates with the utilization of paddles right up to the most luxurious ocean-going liner that you could possibly imagine. And many individuals spend their time running up and down the shoreline checking out the vessel to see whether or not it's seaworthy, whether it's well enough equipped, and whether it has all of the bells and whistles that it's going to maybe utilize and be in need of. And consequently, they never master the journey. They simply keep exploring for the different methods and the different techniques. And then there's the other individual who understands that any vessel will accomplish what they desire, that the vessel is simply a utilization of a tool. And they simply choose the first vessel that they come to, and they go on their journey and achieve tremendous success. Because the irony of it is that you can walk across the water if that's what you so believed. You just don't believe that you can. And so the method of the technique is not nearly as important as what your beliefs are. And what your beliefs are in terms of being able to consciously influence your creation processes are utilized and influenced by what you consciously think of yourself as being possible for you to create. Do you like who you are? You see, self-love is one of the, although not necessary, but very beneficial elements to hold at the conscious level in this creation process. Love who you are. And in order to love who you are, you must like who you are. And while we hesitate to do it again, to give methods or techniques, it's not what we're here for. We're not telling you should do this or you should do that. There are some relatively successful techniques that you can employ to like who you are. Make a list of principles that you wish to apply to various experiences that you have throughout your day-to-day activities. And put them in the order of which you believe to be the most important. And as the opportunity presents itself, you apply the principles. And pretty soon, you begin to like who you are. Pretty soon you begin to like who you are without worrying about what others think about who you are. And pretty soon some of the principles may change. You find that what you thought was really important maybe now is somewhere down the line of principles to a different level of importance, and so you apply a different principle and you begin to like who you are. You begin to like who you are because they're your principles. Because it's what you want to be. You're not doing this to impress some other entities. You're not doing this so that others will look at you and think you are a better person. You're doing this so that you like who you are. You become the person that you wish to be. You like yourself. And the more you apply the principles, the more you like yourself. Now when you begin this process, there's a tendency many times for an individual to come upon a certain situation and you fail to apply the principle. And if you're in that particular element where you don't really like yourself, then you have a tendency to dwell on the negative part of that experience. And instead of looking upon all of the times that you've successfully applied the principles, you dwell on the negative aspect of this one time when you failed. And you continue to dwell on it and put all the others aside, and pretty soon you're right back where you started from. You believe that you're a failure. And guess what? That fuck of consciousness that you are brings it into your reality. All types of experiences to validate the belief system that you have held in your conscious state to influence the reality that you experience. It's really ironic and you're involved in any other type of situation, and you see another entity involved in some type of experience creation process, and if they're successful 90% of the time, you look at that as being hugely successful, and you dwell in the positive aspect of 90%, not the negative aspect of the 10%. And yet, for many entities attempting to apply principles in their day-to-day activities, they have the tendency to dwell on the negative aspect of that minority group of experiences where they fail to apply the principle. So what? It's an illusion. Get on with it. Dwell in the positive. Like who you are. Like who you are. When you like who you are, you begin to do the necessary things to accomplish self-love. You begin to do things that allow you to experience feelings of joy and of well-being, that allow you to experience feelings of confidence, to allow you to experience feelings of worthiness and of trust and of loyalty and of self-worth. You begin to give gifts to yourself that have no conditions. You begin to do things because it's what you want to do, because it makes you feel good. Without worrying about whether or not some other entity thinks that you're being overindulgent or that you're being selfish. It's not selfish to love yourself. It's not selfish to feel confidence. Like who you are. Do the necessary things to experience self-love. And there's some amazing things begin to occur in your so-called awakened consciousness state. You begin to have the capacity to love others and to be loved as well. You see, it's very difficult to love some other entity at a conscious level when you don't understand what it is to love yourself. How can you do something for someone else that you can't do for yourself? Think about that. How can you love someone else if you don't first of all love yourself? You can't give something that you don't know how to incorporate within your own being in the first place. And you see, when you love yourself, then that magic element of expectation, of the capacity and possibility that you can consciously influence your reality creation process comes into effect. You no longer run up and down the shore searching for the vessel. You understand that the vessel is within your control. It does not control you. You understand that it's your reality and it's your creation. And you do have the capacity to influence it consciously, and you do have the deservability to have the expectation to bring it in to your experience, into your conscious awake state. Self-love is a tremendous asset in this conscious creation process, in having the ability to get an understanding of what the beliefs are that you hold, that are responsible for the reality that you experience, so that you can either enhance them to perpetuate and enhance the experience, or if you don't like the experience, you can change the belief and ultimately change the experience as well. Self-love, as a result of self-worth, are key elements that can be tremendously beneficial in that process. Like who you are all that is. You are the creator of your reality and you cannot fail. Absolute. Now, if you have any questions, we would be willing to attempt to answer them for you.
I wanted to ask about out-of-body experiences and lucid dreaming. Is there a difference from your perspective between those two?
Hmm. Very interesting question. We've never been in a body, it becomes very difficult. We've given out. Nonetheless. The consciousness is contained within your physical being because you choose to be there. It's not just there. That's the irony. It's not just there. Your consciousness exists within each and every atom of your entire universe. So it's not so much out-of-body experiences so much as it is an out-of-body awareness that you're already there. It's not like you have to get there, but it's like being aware that you're there already. That that's part of who and what you truly are. You choose to have this. Once again, for lack of better terminology, an electromagnetic type of energy that limits your capacity to understand who and what you truly are. And when you attempt to have this out-of-body experience, you're attempting to remove that veil and to experience something that you have agreed at a certain level of your consciousness to participate in eliminating from your so-called awakened consciousness experience. One of the keys to achieving that out-of-body experience, if you wish, is to understand that you're already there. And so it's not so much attempting to experience the out-of-body as much as it is to experience that portion of your consciousness that already exists there. Certain entities in your so-called history became very adept at understanding that their consciousness was already in various elements and places, if you wish, around the entire Earth system that you exist in. It wasn't so much projecting consciousness to that part as much as it is understanding that your consciousness is already there and connecting to that portion of your consciousness and retaining the memory of that connection. You see, that's the key, that's the trick. If you wish to have that experience and recall it in your conscious state, is to understand that the connection is already there and you are experiencing it continuously. You just don't remember it in your so-called awakened consciousness state. Your altered states of consciousness, however, is entirely different. In your altered states of consciousness, you not only understand, but are very adept at that creation process and being involved once again in each and every atom of this entire universe. In your altered states of consciousness, and you can call it lucid dreaming or you can call it meditative states, it doesn't really matter. It becomes difficult to give an explanation because many explanations are based upon a concept that there are different levels of consciousness. Like it's like you go deeper or you go higher. And it's not like it's something that's away from you, but rather something that you choose to block out. And so it's not so much that you are going higher or lower or that you're really altering your consciousness, so much as you're becoming aware of a different level of your consciousness by retaining a conscious memory of it. And we've referred to it as lucid dreaming, that it's possible for you to take your conscious state into that altered state of consciousness. And for many who have difficulty in meditating, they find it much more convenient to take it into the dream state. Because you see, most don't believe that they have difficulty sleeping. May have difficulty meditating, but sleeping, which is much more difficulty than meditating, they have no difficulty sleeping. And so, if sleeping, they believe there's a dream state, and that's a belief they hold in their conscious state. And so it's much easier many times to take it into that lucid dreaming state, as you refer to, rather than into the meditative state, because you see, for many, meditation is hard. And so, if you go into the dream state, where it's much more acceptable, not only for many entities in their conscious state, but even your so-called scientist would recognize that you do dream in your so-called sleep state. And in that state, you can take your consciousness and you can influence and retain a memory of that influence, of the realities that you experience in that dream state. And it's much easier in that dream state to retain a memory of what it was that you were experiencing and influencing the reality creation process, and to bring it back into your so-called conscious state many times than what it is to have a similar experience in a so-called other body state. And so in the lucid dream state, where you, from your conscious state, look upon it many times as being illusionary anyway, it's much easier to alter the illusion. For many, it's not real. The irony of it is that it's more real than what you experience in your awakened consciousness state, with many times challenged entities to stay in your awakened consciousness state. You know that you cannot sustain this state. It is the most difficult state of consciousness for you to be involved in. You know that at some level you will sleep. Absolutely. You will enter into that dream state. You also know that at some stage you will end your so-called incarnational period and you will enter into an even more altered state of consciousness. And that state is the one that you believe is truly sustainable. The irony of it is that when you're in a meditative state and you develop that capacity to not necessarily have an out-of-body experience, but to connect with the consciousness that you are throughout your entire universe, and when you're in the lucid dream state and you're similarly consciously influencing the realities that you're creating and participating in, even in other lifetimes, which you have experienced quite frequently, you are involved in a reality that's much more real than this reality that you have in your so-called awakened conscious state. You're also, and this becomes difficult for entities to grasp, very, very close to experiencing this so-called in-between incarnation state, the level of consciousness that you're at when you die, in other words. You can have that experience, you don't have to die. It's a case of getting into that state where it's possible for you to become aware of the entire universe that you're involved in the creation process of, and then putting all that away as well. Going a little deeper, getting into the nothingness. And when you're in the dream state, in that so-called lucid dreaming, and you're involved in creation processes in other reincarnational periods, and you put that aside, and you look deeper, and you go that one small step farther, and you experience that overwhelming sense of self-love, unconditional creation process, that's the experience that you have in your so-called between the incarnational period, when you so-called die, in other words. We hesitate to use the terminology die because you never really die. You terminate as far as this incarnational period goes, but you don't die, you alter your consciousness. This is an illusion. The entities that continue to remain in this illusion after you choose to leave it, if you wish, to go into a different state, to take in terminate this particular element of your dream in your awakened consciousness state, you choose to leave it. It's only the entities who remain that are aware of what's going on and feel like it's real and you're somehow gone. You're not gone, you've simply altered your state of consciousness. You're just right there, you're just not tapped into this particular consciousness. If you can, in your meditative state, take that same energy and understand that you have the capacity to tap into all of the other areas where your consciousness is involved in, then you can have not necessarily an out-of-body experience, but awareness that your consciousness is not limited to your physical body. That is the key. Does that answer your question?
Mm-hmm. Can I ask something along that line? When we go into our sleep state, into our dream state, and it's so vivid now, is that past? The memories, are those memories of your past lives? And then when you wake up, it's so vivid, it's so clear. It's different from different eras.
What do you believe? You experience a reality in all its states of consciousness that is more valid than the reality that you experience in your awakened conscious state. Once again, this state is the most difficult state for you to sustain. You can't stay in this awake consciousness state forever. However, you don't have any difficulty accepting that when you so-called die, you will enter into an area that could be perpetual, if you wish. The irony of it is that all of those references are based upon your belief in time and space, and it doesn't exist, it's an illusion. What you experience in your so-called dream state is interactions with your so-called higher self. And you, if you believe and if you are willing to expend the energy, have the capacity to allow your so-called conscious state, the ego if you wish, to enter into and to influence the creation process that's occurring in that altered state of consciousness. You have but to believe. The only limitation to your creation process is what you believe. If you don't believe it's possible, then of course it's going to be very difficult. If you believe it's possible, then you can achieve it. If you wish to, in that so-called altered state of consciousness, retain the memory of what it was that you're involved in and bring it back into your conscious state, you can do that. Is it real? What do you believe? It's more real than this conscious state. But that's only what we're suggesting. If you don't believe it, then you will experience all types of realities to validate that this is real and that the dream state is illusionary. What do you believe? We say that over and over again, and we don't mean for it to be degrading or mean for it to be anything but absolutely serious. What do you believe? The reality you experience is a reflection of the belief you hold at all levels of your consciousness, not just your so-called awakened consciousness state. The spark of consciousness that you are gives to you that which you believe from a position of absolute unconditional love, which means there are no conditions attached to the creation process of whether it's good or bad, right or wrong, should or shouldn't. It just gives to you that which you desire. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Could I ask one more about the little boy that was in the tree in Thailand not so long ago? And what was he doing?
You have, in your reality, many individuals, and particularly what you might refer to as indigo children, entities who have so-called arrived within this vibrational level, bringing with them not necessarily the understanding of how they create the reality, but rather an understanding that it's within their grasp to have that which they desire. And as a result of that, they experiment in all types of creation process and achieve things which, as you look at them from your perspective, appear to be not only different, but absolutely amazing. those children don't necessarily feel that they have to ask for certain things, but rather understand that it's theirs to take. And there's a huge difference. You see, in your so-called past history, many individuals held the belief that to take things was a sign of selfishness or was a sign of someone who was conceited, for example, or someone who was completely disregarding other elements or individuals in their so-called circle of relationships and concentrating on taking for themselves. These children don't look at it that way. They understand at some level of their existence that what they want is there, they have but to take it. And they understand as well that that exists for everyone existing in your vibrational level. So it's not like they're trying to achieve something that's not available to others. And as a result of having that knowledge, and we hesitate to use that terminology, but as a result of knowing at some level of their consciousness that that's possible, they become involved in certain experiences that you look upon and wonder why. It's because it's possible. It's because they have that capacity to have that experience. You look upon entities existing within your vibrational level who adhere strictly to your so-called human consciousness belief system. As you enter into this new age and new energy, there will be many children very similar who will be achieving and doing things that seem to be without reason and seem to be impossible to achieve. You, should you continue in your present belief system, will have children who seemingly accomplish what you now look at as being absolutely impossible. You will have children who can exist without the so-called necessary elements for existence. Many individuals will scoff at the possibility, and yet those children will achieve that effortlessly because they believe and because they can simply reach out and take it. You're beginning to see entities who understand that the true limitation to their creation process is indeed their imagination. You've been here before. This is not new to your so-called existence in this vibrational level, and we've spoken of other civilizations that have existed in your so-called past, in other elements of this vibrational level that you exist in. Entities who understood the capacity to come and go, if you wish, at will from this vibrational level, to suspend their existence in time while they are interacting and creating in other elements. And you look upon that as individuals who were existing seemingly without any type of so-called necessary support systems in your reality and in your conscious state. There exists and shall continue to exist that these type of children shall also begin to understand the limitless amount of energy that is not outside of their creation, but indeed is their creation. And it's available at a conscious level. should you choose to believe. And many children that are involved in these seemingly bizarre activities are simply testing the waters, are finding out, are proving to themselves that things are possible, that they can do it. The irony of it is as well that they don't do it to impress another. They don't do it because they want some type of glory, but rather because they know they can. Because it's a validation of their worthiness of who and what they truly are. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Well now, once again, it has indeed been a very enjoyable interaction, and we would like to express our gratitude to each of you once again for offering us this opportunity. And we would remind you once again that we are not separated by time or space, but rather by a vibrational level, and should you choose to interact with us, you have but to express the intent, and we would welcome that opportunity to interact and to share with each of you. And so until the next time that we are invited back to participate with each of you, we would bid each of you farewell with love and peace.